Well, good evening. It's good to see you all. Give you a warm welcome to this evening, and I'd like to give a warm welcome to those of you online as well. Good to have you with us. We are back to our series in 1 Peter this evening. We had a week off last week, but we're back to it. And the title that John's given for this evening is People of Love. People of Love. So we're really looking forward to John, our pastor, sharing more from this passage in 1 Peter. Just a reminder as well that there is a quarterly church meeting on Tuesday evening at 7:30. Well, we're going to sing, and love is one of the fruits of God's presence amongst us. And this is part of what this first verse reminds us of. So let's stand and let's sing together. In prayer. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we come in praise to you. Lord, as those of us who were here last week were thinking from Psalm 33, Lord, it is right for your people to praise you. Lord, it is by your word that you made the earth and the heavens. Lord, just by speaking, you made the stars and the galaxies. And I pray more and more that we would stand in awe of you. Lord, that you would give us a greater glimpse of who you truly are. Lord, it grieves us that there are so many in the world around us who completely reject the idea of you as a creator. And so, Lord, for your glory and your honor, Lord, we pray that you would change people's hearts. We pray that you would reveal yourself to them, so that they may worship you as you should be worshipped, so that you would receive the glory as you deserve to receive it. And Lord, I pray that you would use us, Lord, to declare your glory. Lord, use us to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Use us to change the hearts of those around us so that more and more may come to know you, and that your name may be lifted up more and more. Lord, we praise you that you watch over your people. Lord, we read in your word about you being enthroned above the heavens. And yet, Lord, you have your eye on us. You care for us. You watch out for us. You know all about us. And I pray, Lord, that like David, we would have that sense of, oh God, this is too wonderful for me. Lord, I pray that that would be such good news to us. Lord, help us to live our lives remembering that you are the King of Kings, enthroned on high, and yet you watch over us and you know all about us. Lord, we praise you for your love. Lord, we thank you that it was your love that drove you to the cross. Lord, that even though we rebelled against you, yet, Lord, you sought to rescue us. You came not just to be a man, not just to be a servant, but to be one that dies on a cross in humiliation. Lord, we thank you that your love is so great and so wide, and that you are a God who is slow to anger. And Lord, I thank you for your love which stirs us up to love one another. Lord, we do pray that we would be a people of love. Lord, we pray that we may reflect you in the world, that as they look at us as a church and as individuals, they may see something of you. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to us through your word tonight. Lord, that your word would help us in this. And Lord, we pray that as we gather around your word this evening, Lord, that it will shape us and mould us through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Lord, do be with us this evening, I pray. Help us to worship you, not just with our lips, but with our hearts also. We pray this for your honour and your glory. Amen. Well, we've got a couple of readings this evening before John speaks, and both of them are not actually the passage that we're looking at this evening, but they are very much linked to it. So the first reading that we're looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 8. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and the first 8 verses. This is what it says. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Well, we're going to sing another song. It's an older hymn. It's another song about love in the Christian community. So let's sing together, "Blessed Be the Tie That Binds."
Be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the fellowship of kindred. Thank you.
Our second reading this evening is from Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to read from verse 25 to chapter 5, verse 2. So starting at Ephesians 4, verse 25. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his own hands, so that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamour and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. Well, let's bow our heads again in prayer, and we're going to bring some of the things that are on the bulletin, particularly before the Lord in prayer. So let's pray. Oh Lord God, we do pray that you bless your word to us, Lord, as we've just read it. Lord, I pray that you would teach us, and we pray that as we sang in that first song, Lord, that we would live out the word. Lord, we thank you that as well as praising you, Lord, we thank you that we can bring our request before you. And Lord, we do that now. Lord, we do pray for your blessing upon the quarterly church meeting on Tuesday evening. Lord, we need your help with every aspect of church life. And so we pray that that would be a useful, good and helpful meeting. And Lord, we praise you for so many who do so much in the life of this church to serve you, and I pray that you would bless them. Lord, do bless us as a church, we pray. Lord, we do pray for David Scull on Thursday as well, as he comes to speak to us about the work in Brighton. Lord, I thank you for him. I thank you for Naomi and for the blessing that she was to the women's retreat, and I pray that you'd bless him as he speaks. I pray that we'd be an encouragement to him as well as him to us. And I pray that you would hear and answer our prayers that evening. Lord, we thank you for the joy of Christian fellowship, Lord, that it's not just in this church, although, Lord, we thank you so much for this church. But we thank you that it is with believers around the county and around the country and even around the world. Lord, we thank you for fellowship. Lord, we praise you that 285 testaments were given out to Bennett School last week. Lord, we do thank you for the interest among young people, for truth and for what's real in life and what really matters. And I pray, Lord, that these young people would be hungry. And I pray that they would look at your word as a real source of what are you saying? And a real source of truth. Lord, I pray that they would listen to the voice of truth. And yet, Lord, we know what people are like, and we know that it's likely that many young people might have thrown them away or put them away somewhere and not planning to look at them at all. And it saddens us when your word is spurned like that. But Lord, we also remember the parable of the sower. And we remember that there wasn't a huge amount that landed on the good soil, but it multiplied 30, 60, even 100 times what it was at the beginning. And so, Lord, we pray for that multiplication. Lord, we pray that these young people would read your word, that they would know you, and that through you, by being attached to Jesus the vine, they would be fruitful and that they would multiply. Lord, wouldn't it be amazing if there are stories in the future of people who have been changed and redeemed by you because of gospels that have gone out, maybe even one or two generations down the line. Lord, we thank you for other opportunities where your word is going out. Lord, we thank you for the New Christianity Explore course at Lewis Prison. We pray for Martin and Steve St. John as they lead that. Lord, we thank you for the opportunities that we have in this country to do things like this. And we pray for interest in the course, and we pray for commitment as well, that people would keep coming along. And Lord, there are souls to be saved there. And so, Lord, use your word. Lord, we thank you that we can have confidence in your word, that it is not just the wisdom of Martin and Stephen, but it is your word going in with power. Lord, we thank you that there are many testimonies of people in prisons around the country who have been changed by your word, and so it gives great confidence to us. Lord, we pray that your name would be glorified in that prison. And Lord, we think of Paul in the Philippian, well, when he wrote to the Philippians about being in prison, and he was saying that actually being in prison has only helped to further the gospel. And Lord, we pray that the gospel will be furthered in this prison. Lord, as people spend so much time together, Lord, we pray that people would chat about you. Lord, how wonderful would that be? Lord, I pray for those going away this next week. Lord, a few people going away with half term. Lord, I pray that you would bless them, especially those who feel a real need for break. Lord, I pray that you would refresh them mentally and physically and spiritually as well. Lord, we thank you for times of rest. But also pray for those who are feeling the strain and haven't got time off. Lord, I pray that you would refresh them. Lord, I pray that in the business they would still seek you, and that you would strengthen them and help them in a way beyond what they know themselves. Lord, and I pray that that would bring you glory. Lord, we do pray for us as a church, that we would be a church that constantly looks to you for help and strength and wisdom. Not just when we desperately feel we need it, but each and every day. And Lord, I do pray that you would help John, our pastor. Lord, I pray that you'd help him generally, Lord, just with all the responsibilities he has, with all the burdens he has to bear. Lord, I pray that you'd richly bless him in his soul and in his mind and in his body. Lord, we thank you for him and for his faithful service. And we pray that you bless him this evening, Lord, as he speaks. Lord, give him clarity in his mind. And I pray that you'd empower him through your spirit. Thank you for the prep that he's put into this. And I pray that you give us ears to hear. I pray that we may be a people hungry for your word. So Lord, do bless us tonight and help us to grow, to be more like you through your word and through your power. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to sing again, and then John's going to come and speak to us. And we're going to sing about the word of God. Going to be thinking about that this evening, and that it's a reminder that God's word is where our authority and our teaching comes from. So let's sing about the word of God.
Well, I hope you're enjoying the series in 1 Peter. I'm enjoying going through 1 Peter. I hope it's the same for you. We're back to 1 Peter this evening. I need to choose a title for these passages by Friday in order for it to feed its way through to the different things. And I often find I'm still thinking through the passage, but I have to go with one. So I chose People of Love. That's what went out on some of the social media and on the bulletin. People of Love. But I did also wonder about calling it People of the Word. People of the Word. I wonder which you would have gone for. We're going to read through the passage now that we're going to look at this evening. Have a think as we go through. Which way would you have gone? What title would you have given it this evening? So we're in 1 Peter, end of chapter 1, verse 22. We're going to read through to verse 3 of chapter 2. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers, and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice, and all deceit, and hypocrisy, and envy and all slander, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Now, I don't know which one you would have gone for as you thought through. Perhaps you thought, well, it's quite an emphasis on love in verse 22 near the start there, brotherly love, love one another. But then you've got the word, haven't you, in verse 23. The word of God. And in verse 25, the word of the Lord. And then, well, it looks like love again, doesn't it, at the start of chapter 2, verse 1, sort of things related to love. And, well, then you're on the milk of the word, often seen as you get through to the end of our passage. So in the end, as you can see, I've sort of enlarged my title, People of Love and the Word. People of Love and the Word. They're both entangled together in the verses that we're looking at this evening. There's a strong link between the two. So let's follow this through, follow through some of the teaching, follow through some of the verses. We're going to start off here, People of Love, the original title, People of Love. There is a big emphasis on love in 1 Peter. So jump to 3, verse 8. Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart and a humble mind. From 3:8 to 4:8. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. So there should be a big emphasis on love in our lives. A big emphasis on love in our lives. I often dip into what's called commentaries. They're commentaries that go through Bible passages and give helpful explanation. Often do that, especially towards preparation times. And often it's explaining words and things that are going on. But this one that I was reading on this passage was surprisingly sort of emotional and personal and I thought helpful. This is what Michael Bentley says on this passage. Our love too should be deep. We should not have a shallow love for others. It should be rich and full and bountiful. We should not be stingy, but we should give it to the full for Christ's sake. He carries on. The day after my 18-year-old son Simon was killed in a car accident, his Bible was found by his bedside. When it was opened, it was found that he had only underlined a few passages in it, but each of them had to do with God's people loving one another. The one in 1 Peter 4, 8 seemed to sum them all up perfectly. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Simon did not know much about theology, but he longed that people should love each other more. I wonder if we were to get so many hard, cold, critical statements in our Christian magazines if we always remembered that the Bible commands us to love our brothers very deeply. Well, it's quite moving, isn't it, when you think of that, saying that about his son and what his son valued. And maybe we need to be taught this evening by that 18-year-old about the importance of love again as we come to this passage. It's something that these people had already experienced as a part of their change. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love. I had a message, a WhatsApp through this morning, and I won't tell you who it's from, but this is how it ended. Just been praying for you to know God's particular peace and strength today. Bless you, bro. Now, that wasn't my brother, my literal brother. Why does he end, bless you, bro? Well, because he's a brother in Christ, and we're brothers through Jesus as believers. And that's what you have here. You have them having a sincere brotherly love. Philadelphia is the Greek word, brotherly love. Christians should love in a family sort of way. It wasn't just hollow. It's possible to love in a hollow way, even within a family, isn't it? You think, well, we just got to get along over Christmas, we make the best of it, but it doesn't seem to run very deep. No, here, the love that they had was sincere. They had, in verse 22, a sincere brotherly love. It was genuine. It was the real deal. It was the real thing. But Peter wants it to carry on and to grow. Do you want your love to go onwards and upwards? Is that a concern for you? You have some brotherly love. It's genuine to some extent. You're looking for it to go onwards and upwards. Well, then he carries on. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. This is the positive side of love. Love one another. Agape, this is a different Greek word, which is self-sacrificial love. Love that costs you. And he wants them to have that sort of love for each other. And he wants it to be wholehearted. He says, love one another earnestly, warm, intently. Not just to suit us, not just to be seen, not just to get our own way, but from pure motives. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Love one another. People of love. That's what they were. And that's what they needed to continue to be and grow in. And it has some practical consequences. And we come across those in the first verse of chapter 2. There are some things to put away. Some things to put away. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. In July of this year, the police established a Blades Amnesty. A Blades Amnesty, especially in London and Manchester and the West Midlands. And 37 secure bins were placed, and people were told that they could, without recrimination, place their blades in the bin to get rid of them. Obviously, it needs to be a secure bin so that somebody else doesn't run off with a big hoard of blades. Run alongside it was a ninja sword surrender and compensation scheme. I think it was just for July, so if you've still got your ninja sword, you've missed your opportunity. But here there was opportunity for people to put away things that were harmful and which were dangerous. And here in verse 2, we are asked to dump, surrender, give up harmful things in our attitudes to one another. There are five of the things. So put away all malice. That's looking to do something with evil intent. I want them to be hurt. Chuck it in the bin. Deceit. Deliberately misleading somebody, which is often so harmful in its consequences. Hypocrisy. Making it seem as though we love somebody when really underneath our feelings are very different and perhaps expressed differently to other people. Envy. When you despise somebody because they get the job that you wanted, they have the attention that you wanted, they won the game you wanted to win, they're popular and not you, they're successful and you aren't, and you envy them and despise them as a result. Put it in the bin. Put it in the bin, says Peter. It's not something that should be sort of about your person as a Christian. Slander is the fifth one. Spreading unfair untruth about somebody to ruin their reputation, to sort of hurt them, you know, sort of boomerang style, round the back, coming back and hitting them. And we're told not to keep any of them. You see the word all? So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. Time to surrender. Do you need to respond to the blade's amnesty, if I can put it like that? It'd be handy, just as you're thinking it through, to have one or two people in mind that you've been dealing with quite a lot in recent weeks. And you've been dealing with them, and it's actually proved quite difficult. It's not straightforward. I think of them in the light of these verses. Think of them, their face, or two or three of them if you've got more than one, in the light of the positive verse 22. A sincere brotherly love. Love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Think of their face when you're thinking of sort of ditching the negative. Verse 1, so put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. We may be quite advanced in our theology, but do we need to hear the emphasis of that 18-year-old we read about? Importance of love, that we should be people of love. That should really work out in our relationships. People of love, but also in the passage, people of the word. People of the word. We're very much to be people of the word. We are, and we should be. It comes up a number of times just in these few verses that we read. A number of things about God's word which are very relevant to us. We're reminded that it changed us. It was obeying this word of truth which got them to this point. Verse 22, having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth. So God's word recognized as truth, having an impact on our lives so that our lives are different. We're reminded of that. But we can go back even further than that in what Peter tells us here. It was involved in us being born again. Being born again. If you're a Christian, you have been born again. Regeneration is the long word. The word of God regenerated us. God's Spirit brought you to life, and the Spirit used the word and the message of the word to do it. Verse 23, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So God's word worked in us by his Spirit and brought us to spiritual life. That's what the word does. We are people of the word. We've been stirred and raised to life by the word. Well, God's word is so different. And as it carries on here, it talks about it being living. It's living. God is living. He's the living God. He is the source of life. He has life in himself. And life characterizes his word. Hebrews 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is living and active. It's alive, God's word. It's not a dead word. It's not a dull word. It is a living word. And it lives in people. It is a lasting word. It is a lasting word. Verse 23. The living and abiding word of God. Have you had flowers in your house recently? Well, some of you have, maybe. Maybe there was a birthday or an anniversary or a thank you present. How long did they last? Well, hopefully more than 5 days or whatever it said on the packet. Perhaps 2 weeks. That's a good, I'm not a flower expert, but a couple of weeks would be quite good. 3 weeks for flowers. I mean, okay, if they're in a pot and they're feeding was one thing, but if they're just in water, even with the potions you put in, 3 weeks, I'm not sure it would be 3 weeks. Not long is it before you look at them, they're sad, they're drooped, the petals have fallen off, and they go in the bin or the recycling or whatever you do with them. And we're like that. Our life is very temporary. The years flick, the decades flick, our life is over. But God's word is different. God's word is lasting. It's not here today, gone tomorrow. It is solid, it's reliable. It is the eternal word from the eternal God. It is imperishable, we're told in verse 23. Not of it. Perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and abiding word of God. There's a few things in 1 Peter that are imperishable. I won't list them now, but you might want to sort of rattle through your mind if you think of any others, or rattle through the book afterwards to track them down. There's a theme he picks up. But one of them is it's the word of God, which is imperishable, which doesn't become out of date, which is lasting and ever relevant. Have you come across the song The Power of His Word? I think that's the title. But I love the chorus. Generations rise, generations fall, but his word is living and his word is sure, evermore, evermore, evermore. All flesh is like grass and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever, he says, quoting from Isaiah 40. The word of the Lord remains forever. It's lasting. It's said that in the 1700s, a French philosopher called Voltaire, in keeping with his sort of skeptical approach to Christianity, said that the Bible would be obsolete and out of circulation within 100 years from now. According to the Guinness Book of Records, the best-selling book of all time is the Christian Bible, with between 5 and 7 billion copies distributed. This century, it's estimated that Bibles are printed at the rate of 80 million a year. Apparently, only decades after his death, the former home of Voltaire in Geneva in Switzerland was used as a place, as a storehouse for Bibles and gospel tracts. One thing lives on, one thing doesn't. The lasting word, it's a lasting word, should have lasting effect in our lives. It feeds us. So most babies grow, that's what you want to see. It's a concern if they're not growing. How is it that a baby grows? Well, it's only by the milk they have, isn't it? It's all they have, milk. One way or another, they have milk. The baby is dependent on the milk for growth. And the word is milk to us. Verse 2, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation. The word is God's sort of growth agent. That's how Christians grow upwards and mature. It's his word. Of course we should be people of the word. But it's not just drink, it's food as well. It tastes good. It tastes good. Verse 3, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good or gracious. And how do you find that the Lord is gracious? Well, so much of it is as you read and take in the truths of his word. As his word is real and living in your heart. Does it mean something to you? Somebody told me yesterday they went to McDonald's and they wanted to get one of the McDonald's milkshakes. And they'd run out of stock, so disappointed. Well, perhaps the sort of drink you like that's tasty is a McDonald's milkshake. Perhaps it's a hot chocolate. You have something that you especially like and suits you. Here it is. The taste is, spiritually, is God's word. It's just full of flavour and nourishment. So these are the things that are in this passage about the word. So we are to be people of the word. And as we recall that, it makes us think, you know, do we stand firm on it as a reliable, truthful word of God? Are we grateful for it? Do we love God's word? Love our Bibles? Do we crave for it? Here it says, newborn infants long for the pure spiritual milk. If you've had children, young children, or you had them in the family, do you remember back to those nights, waking up in the night, first of all with the little sort of disturbed groans, and you know what's coming? Gets beyond the groan, to the cry, to the loud cry, and you can't just ignore it, and it's not satisfied until the milk has been given, and they feel full, they long for, they crave for milk. And Peter says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk. Got an appetite. Not Mark prayed in that way, but being hungry for the word. Thought, yeah, that fits in nicely. It would be jolly weird, wouldn't it, really, if people came up into this sort of service and they were literally sort of crying like a baby. You'd say, sort of, yeah, get a life. What are you like? You know, you'd think it was a strange thing. But inside, there should be a longing for the word, a spiritual hunger. And in our lives at home, when we sort of turn to the app which our Bible is on, or open the Bible that we have, yeah, we're imperfect and we fail, but it's appropriate and right that we should be longing for the word. People of love, people of the word, but then let's just put them together a bit at the end. People of love and the word. People of love and the word. We need both. Now we may have some sort of people of love kind of people here. I think, yeah, that's just so important. Christians have got to be loving. Yeah, yes, shout it loudly. And we may here have some people of the word kind. Stick to the word. Give them the truth. Make sure it's solid. And we need both. You can't just be in one camp. We need people of love. And we need people of the word. And it's not just two separate things. They go together. The command to love is linked to what the word is and does. So they're interconnected here. Verse 23, having talked about love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. So God's living, lasting word should be producing living, lasting fruit of love in our lives. They're connected. Our love shouldn't be the sort of temporary bouquet of roses sort of love, which flops within a couple of weeks. Now, our love should be coming from the word which is at work in us, and producing a lasting, ongoing fruit. It should be living and lasting. And of course, there's a logic to this. Christians should be loving. What is the message of God's word? Well, verse 23, and this word is the good news that was preached to you. And if you have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, well, it ought to have its effect in you and in me. If we hold dear to God's love shown in the gospel of Jesus, then surely there will be love and increasing love, won't there, in our lives? And if you feel that you have found forgiveness through the death of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, then there must be forgiveness expressed in your life. And if we serve a Saviour who loved us so much that he was pinned to a cross for our sakes, of course, the more we think about that and that message fills us up, we're going to be loving towards others, aren't we? One links to the other. One produces the other. The message of the word leads to a people of love. And the newborn infants, that they grow, long for the pure spiritual milk that you may grow up into salvation. Well, what does that mean? Grow up into salvation. Well, surely a very big part of it is living a life of love, isn't it? If he said in chapter 4 and verse 8, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, then growing up into salvation, a good chunk of it is going to be loving towards others. So feeding on the word leads to growing up in love. They're not just two good separate things. They're entangled. One leads to the other. So, people of love, people of the word, people of love and the word. You may have come across the phrase rubbish in, rubbish out. Or in America, it's garbage in, garbage out. And it refers to sort of databases and stuff, you know. Your computer system is only as good as the stuff you're putting into it. If you're putting rubbish in, you're going to get rubbish reports out. Rubbish in, rubbish out. Well, then what's the opposite? I think probably the opposite is quality in, quality out. Quality in, quality out. And that's really what you've got here, haven't you? God's word, quality in, feeding, feasting, infiltrating our lives. Thoughtful about Jesus, his love, his life. And what does it do? Quality in, quality out. Love in, love out. The people of the word should be also people of love. Well, we're gonna sing about this in our final song. It is the song, Let Love Be Found Among Us, a love from God alone, the hallmark of the children whom God delights to own. Now we're going to sing this through and then stay standing at the end, and I'll just leave a minute for sort of personal prayer and reflection. Maybe we could put, when we finish the song, we could put the whole slide of the talk up, if that's okay, James, at the end of that. And we'll just have a minute's personal reflection, staying standing, before I do a closing prayer. But let's sing this first.
We make them call us for us.
Oh Lord, we know we should be people of love. Oh, we're sorry when we're not. These words were given to Christians and others are given to Christians because that love wasn't working out as it ought to have done. We pray for forgiveness for our failings, but we want to go onwards and upwards. We want to get rid of the things which harm others and dump them. And we instead want to have that brotherly, amazing, selfless, costly, earnest love with a pure heart. So help us. Lord, we want to be people of the word. Lord, sometimes we don't love your word as we should, but we know it's very lovable. We know it's reliable and lasting. We know it's given us life and it's pointed us to Jesus. We know it's enduring and it's trustworthy. We know it's made us grow and it tastes good. And so we pray that you will help us to be people of your word, to love your word, to stand on your word, to grow in your word. We thank you for this passage. We find in these things so helpful in this book that you have given us of 1 Peter. We pray that you will be glorified by its effect on us today, but also in coming days and months. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.